you're going down in this, Mitch. It's up to a Twitter poll now. Who would you rather have DJ K-State basketball game, me or Mitch? If you like music that actually matches basketball, I'm
well,
the guy.
Here's the deal. Like, I may not listen to that kind of music every day, but I am familiar with it. I kind of keep up with it when it comes to, because I still DJ weddings here and there, not very often, but I got to keep up with it. And I mean, I know how to play to a crowd.
That's the equivalent. That's the equivalent of I have a lot of black friends. That's what that reminds me of.
I don't understand how if you're off and on DJing a wedding, that makes you qualified. Like if you're DJing a wedding, all you got to know is like the chicken dance and you know some nice slow songs and play like Sweet Caroline.
Not
and
when the drinking
saying,
starts,
bah,
John.
Bah, bah. You just got to play the classics.
Have you ever been to a wedding?
Yes, I've been to a wedding.
Once the drinks start flowing, the people want to hear the hits.
Well, right, but like the classic hits, because at a wedding, it's not going to be like a younger audience. It's going to be people of all ages. Yes, there are people of all ages at a basketball game too, but you want to play music that's like matching the setting there and like what the guys want to hear, what the players want to hear, what's going to get them pumped up, and like songs that generally get a crowd going.
Well,
right?
And
I think much different.
I will mention the in-game playlist has been pretty much the same for about 5 years, so it wouldn't be too hard to change up a little bit of it and get over with the crowd.
I have some ideas. I have some ideas. Like, I'll bring it to the show tomorrow. I'll bring you my DJ playlist to the show tomorrow. You want me to write that down? DJ playlist. There it is. In my notes for tomorrow. Let's go around college basketball.
Look around college basketball.
Bobby Knight just threw his chair across the free throw lane. Farouk Benesh, a three.
Goal! I told you to go shock the world.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Kansas State heads to the Elite Eight.
This is Around College Basketball.
TCU picked up an important win against a fellow Big 12 bubble team last night, topping Texas Tech 62-61 in Fort Worth. TCU now 6-5 in the Big 12 standings. Meanwhile, the Red Raiders are in big trouble now, sitting at 4-7 with an RPI of 91.
Not surprising that TCU wins that game, obviously. There was some controversy at the end there on the foul call that gave them the last free throw that put them over the top. But Jamie Dixon, man, this is so validating for him, because that situation at Pitt, he was consistently good, but they got tired of him just being good and not great, or very good, however you want to really categorize what he was at Pitt. This has to be just the best feeling in the world for him, setting aside all the stuff that, like, he's winning at his alma mater, he's back home. You take all that away, he's got to be able to look right now and glare over at Pitt, like, take that, guys. I'm good enough to come right into TCU, a team that has never been anywhere but the cellar in the Big 12 since they've been in the conference. He has them now in the position where they just got to win. They might be able to get in with two more, depending on how soft the bubble is. Like two or three more wins. They're in great shape for the NCAA tournament in year one.
Meanwhile, on the other side of it, Texas Tech is a team that I really thought, you know, going into the year had a chance to be a little bit better than they have been, but not that they're a bad team, but the Big 12 for a while has been Texas and Oklahoma at the bottom as teams that we know aren't getting into the NCAA tournament. Texas Tech is getting close to that territory because they've got three games left against West Virginia, Baylor, and KU, and they also have a road trip up here to K-State, which is a game that K-State will absolutely have to win.
Texas Tech also has as many Big 12 road wins as I do.
Yes.
All right, well, after last weekend's win at KU, Iowa State was inching closer to an NCAA tournament locked territory. That's no longer the case after the Cyclones screw things up and lose to Texas last night, 67-65. Iowa State is now 6-5 in the league, while the Longhorns remain completely out of the postseason picture.
They are a carbon copy. A carbon copy of K-State. Iowa State is. The win at Kansas, win at Baylor. Lose at Texas, lose at home to TCU. I realize the order there is a little bit different, but very, very similar in two-game swings for both teams. K-State 5-6 in the Big 12. Iowa State is 6-5. But part of that's because K-State's played in Ames. They have not come here and played in Manhattan. Iowa State, solid starting five. A lot of talent there. not much else. Relied way too much on those guys to be consistent in the Big 12. K-State relies so heavily on that starting five, don't have much off the bench. Fan base unsure about what's happening with their head coach and where the future of the program's going. Iowa State, Steve Prohm, K-State, as we've been discussing all show. Obviously in that same scenario.
Iowa State wasn't as good in non-conference play as K-State was, and they just hit a 14-8 overall, but it seems like...
I would argue they had a better non-con because they just played a way tougher schedule.
Well, yeah. I mean, way that's kind of what I'm saying.
They played number one Gonzaga. They were on the road at Cincinnati. Yeah, they played a tough game.
They've got some work to do still. There's no doubt about that. And yeah, they do have to remind you of K-State. They just cannot put two really solid games together back-to-back.
High school basketball. If there's a way to score 92 points in a high school game and do so unimpressively, the brother of UCLA star Lonzo Ball accomplished that last night. LaMelo Ball scored 92 points in 37 of 61 shooting, but video of the game has social media crying foul. Ball frequently cherry-picked by staying on the offensive end of the floor and waiting for a teammate to pass to him.
Yeah, this is just so bogus. Like, I was seeing it all morning. People like, 92 points, 92 points, wow. And I was initially like, oh, yeah, that's impressive. The second you click on the video, you can watch a 15-minute-long highlight video. It feels like every single basket from the game. Nobody is trying at all to play defense. I mean, the final score of this game is like 140-something to 120-something. Nobody's playing defense. He is absolutely cherry-picking. Like, I played games at the rec that were played at a higher level, higher pace than what he was doing. So he's a really high-profile recruit. He's already committed to UCLA. I get it. Like, he's a good player. But that 92 points means nothing. That is as hollow as a donut. Like, that's crazy.
Where do we stand on cherry-picking as a legitimate offensive strategy along the same lines as, like, the Baylor-style offense where you snap it every 7 seconds?
Well, at the high school level, it's, I mean, like, non-existent. Like, that's a non-starter. If you want to talk about, like, how you should be playing pickup games of basketball, then I think it's more of a debate, but I still don't like it.
Okay. No, I'm with you. I think that it's bogus. It certainly got my attention. The headline did last night. Saw it late last night. But, yeah, watching that, I only watched, like, a minute of it, and I had to turn it off. It got me too fired up.
It's infuriating, yeah. Right? Like, Mitch and I just watched 2 high school basketball games last night with teams trying really hard, a lot of strategy, very intense defense. And then, like, to watch, I mean, I realize I sound like everything I'm typically not right
here, I know, get off my lawn, yeah.
To watch some guy too jogging up and down the floor and just cherry-picking layups, it was like, come on, man.
I will mention this is the same kid that pulls up from half court and shoots.
Yeah, it's that same guy.
I think he's 1 for 2. All right, in the latest episode of K-State Basketball, Where Are They Now? Former Wildcat guard Javon Thomas no longer at Seton Hall as of today. Thomas averaged just 10 minutes per game and was mostly invisible on the stat sheet.
He also had an incident last year when he was sitting out where he got in a fight actually during some kind of a pickup basketball game or something at their rec center. I just feel bad for him. Javon, you know, is a guy that I talked to quite a bit just in the media settings when he was here, and I always really liked the guy. He was very fiery, very passionate, and he had a temper that's got him in trouble. But I thought, in general, he was a good kid. Like, I don't think he's a bad guy. He just grew up in a pretty rough setting where fight or flight is really what's going on a lot of times there, and I think he's got that in him. I'm not real familiar with what exactly the situation has been here at Seton Hall, and we saw a lot of his flaws get exposed here at K-State as far as a basketball player. Too much of an offensive liability to allow him to be on the floor for his defensive prowess. So from that standpoint, I'm not surprised it didn't work out, but I do hope in general things are okay because I think he was legitimately good.
Yeah, I thought that he had a lot of the ingredients that are necessary to be a good basketball player, but he really lacked in knowing how to put them all together. And a lot of that can come from having a solid foundation in the game, having a good high school coach, getting into a college system that works for you, and that never really happened with him. So you got to feel bad for him, but I have no idea what his next step is going to be.
He'll always have. I remember the game against West Virginia when Juwan Staten was Big 12 Player of the Year. Locked him down. That was in the last tournament season for K-State. Javon came in and just totally locked him down in a K-State win. I will remember him by that. Positive memory there, Javon Thomas. It's going to do it for Brown College basketball here on the show. Jabroni of the Week is a little over 10 minutes away, but when we come back, silver lining from a terrible situation as we talk some more.